praise God for His Word. I need a word from God. You do too.
Amen.
Amen. Whether you know it or not. Amen. And I believe God has a good word for us today. I think He's been speaking some good things to us over the last couple of weeks that is preparing us. Just want to not get too far ahead of myself. I certainly don't want to get ahead of Him. But I believe He's saying some things unto us that are helpful to us. Amen. For things that He wants us to do, we're going to try to put all this stuff together as the Spirit of the Lord leads us. Amen.
Amen.
On this morning, though, what I'm going to ask you to do is to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Amen. Isaiah 53, we're going to look at verse number 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1 reads, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Amen.
Amen.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? God wants to talk to us today, amen, about how to conquer unbelief. Amen. How to conquer unbelief. If I'm hearing right, amen, we will start today and then continue on next week as well. But we just look to complete this week's assignment. Amen.
Amen.
Next week will take care of itself. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus says that we shouldn't worry about the future, worry about tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Amen. So we just concern ourselves with what?
Today.
Today. Amen. All right, so in Isaiah 53, verse 1, again, it says, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And God wants to talk to us about conquering unbelief. Just want to see how exactly the Lord wants to jump into this, because I just feel in my spirit there's many ways to go, but I'm going to trust in going this way. Let's start with the scripture first. Look at a couple of things, then we'll pray, and then we'll get deeper into the word. Okay? Let's look at the scripture again. It says, "Who hath believed our report?" That's a question that has an implicit answer. Amen. That not everyone who heard the report believed. Isaiah was one of the great prophets of the Bible, and certainly he was given a lot of prophecy by God. And among those prophecies, amen, was the prophecy about the coming Messiah. And for those of you who are very familiar with Isaiah 53, you know that that's where we get this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. Amen. He's talking about Jesus. And in fact, even before that, in Isaiah 52, 13 through 15, he talks about the servant of the Lord. He says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, but that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider." And here he's talking about Jesus, and he prophetically talks about the fact that Jesus' face and his body would be so marred by the scourging and the beating that he would receive, that no one would even recognize him. Amen. And it was more so than any man. And then he continues on in 53, continuing to talk about the coming Messiah. But Isaiah, amen, was given all the revelation and prophecies and given word to speak to his people. He says here, who hath believed our report? And again, many had heard, but not everybody who heard believed. Mm-hmm. But that's a past tense question. Who hath believed our report? And then he asks another question. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And that word, the arm, is in some translations is literally translated the power. And who is the power of the Lord revealed? To whom is that power revealed? And implicit in that question is that the power is revealed. That's present tense. Mm-hmm. Is revealed. Not to everybody who believed. In other words, there's a whole lot of people who heard the word or who heard the report, but not everybody believed. That's why Isaiah said, who hath believed? And you're going to have a number of people raise their hand and go, I believe, I believe, I believe. And then he asks a second question. It's a follow-up. And to whom is the power of God revealed? And it's not revealed to everybody who raised up their hand and said they believed. But as we'll see, it's going to be revealed to those who are continuing to believe. Because so what happens is that the word of God goes forward. You have some people who never believe. I don't believe that. Then you have some other people who believe when they heard it. But some of those people who believe when they heard it don't believe now. But then you have a third group of people who not only heard the word, they believed the word then, and they still believe it now. And implicit in this second question is that those who see the power of the Lord revealed in his life are not everybody who believed at one point. It's those who are believing even now. Amen. And so we're going to get into this of how to conquer unbelief, because we want to make sure that we are the ones to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. But I don't know about you, but I need the power of God to be revealed in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I need the power of God to be revealed in my life. Let's pray. Father, we come before the throne of grace one more time. Now, God, we are desiring to hear your voice. And so, Father, we ask that you will speak through your word. Father God, bless us, O God, to hear you. And Father, bless us to understand what we hear.
Yes.
And Father, most of all, God, grant us the grace to walk out the word, the revelation that you give us today, that we may be doers of the word,
yes,
and not hearers only. Father God, let your word go forth, O God, and land on good ground in our hearts, and bring forth a magnificent harvest, O God, that you may be glorified through it all. Mm-hmm. Father God, I pray right now that you will go to work in this place, in your people. I pray, God, that you will go to work in me and have your way in each and every one of us. Father, I decrease now that you might increase, and be given all the glory and honor. And we thank you, God, for the anointed word that's about to come forth.
Yes.
We receive it now by faith in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about how to conquer unbelief. And I want to start here by, and we'll talk more, I think we'll get a more formal definition in a minute, but when I think of unbelief, I see something. When I see unbelief, see, to me, if a person never believed, then they aren't in unbelief. Mm-hmm. Because in my spirit, what I see is that unbelief, that word un means that it undoes something. Right? Sort of like if I took a sheet and covered this pulpit. The pulpit is covered. And then someone can come and uncover it. Mm-hmm. But in order to uncover it, it has to be covered in the first place. Mm-hmm. So when I think of unbelief, it's not someone who never believed. It's someone who at one point believed, But now they no longer believe. Just the same way as this pulpit at one point was covered, but it's no longer covered once it becomes uncovered. And so I think of a person who is in unbelief as not someone who never believed God, but they believed God at one point, right? But now that they've now gotten to unbelief, right? It's no longer that way, the same way this thing is no longer covered. It was covered, now it's uncovered. You did believe, now you're in unbelief. Amen. So I don't view it as like people who didn't believe. So let's not think about those people. Amen.
Okay.
We're talking about those who believed at one point. But now, somehow, that belief has gotten undone. Amen. It's gotten undone. Well, let's go here. You know, we know that to walk with God, we must walk in faith. Right? We must believe in God. We must trust in God. We must trust in His Word. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews for a second. Hebrews 11. And we know that this is the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11 and 1, we find what many call the definition of faith. And in Hebrews 11 and 1, familiar passage that says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report." So the writer of Hebrews here tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In verse number 6, he says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Talking about to please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So as we look at these verses, amen, we see that in order to walk with God, we must walk by faith. It's not something that's an option. And we know that from verse number 6 because it says, "He that comes to God must believe." It's not optional, right? If we come to God, we must believe. Is that what the Word says?
Yes.
We must believe. We can't take it upon ourselves to decide, well, I don't know if I'm going to believe God today. Well, then don't come to Him. But God said, if you're going, if God was talking, God said, if you're going to step to me, you better believe me. Amen. Don't step into my presence and not believe me. If you're going to come to me, you must believe me. You must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder. We go on and we look in chapter 11, and this is the Hall of Faith chapter, right? And we see, starting in verse 4, how important faith is for the people of God. Because look what it says in verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered." Mm-hmm. Verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah prepared the ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, he sojourned." Verse 11. "Through faith, Sarah received strength." Go down a little bit further, verse 17. "By faith, Abraham offered." See, some people can't make an offering because they ain't got faith. How are you going to offer? By faith. Amen. Go a little bit further down. "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Jacob worshipped. By faith, Joseph gave commandment. By faith, Moses was hid. By faith, he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter." And on and on. You go through this chapter and you see that the people of God, whatever they did it by faith or through faith. And so if we're people of God, we must walk in faith if we're going to walk with God. If you're going to come to God, it says here that you must believe. And so Hebrews chapter 11 is a very inspirational chapter that tells us about all the great ones that have passed on before us in faith. But I believe something. I believe that the most important verse, and in fact, the most important word that's in Hebrews chapter 11 is found in the first verse, and it's the first word. And it's the word now. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. If you rearrange those words, it says faith is now, right? Now faith is what?
Now.
Now. And see, that's so important because what it's saying unto us is that faith is not past tense. Faith is not the future. So we can't talk about we believe God yesterday or we're going to believe God tomorrow. Because the only thing that matters is what? Do you believe God
now?
Because faith is now. Faith is not in the past and it's not in the future. Faith is only in the present. And so we have to believe God now. And so if we're not walking in faith right now with God, if our faith is not current, if it's not present, if it's not up to date, then we may veer off into unbelief. Because, see, we may have believed God at one point, but if you're not believing him now, then it's not faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must believe if you're going to come into God's presence. Don't come into God's presence with your faith left over from last week. Don't come into God's presence with a faith that says, Lord, if you do this, I'll believe you, because that's future. You got to come into God's presence with a faith that says, right now, in the midst of my mess, I believe you. Because that's now faith. The book of Romans 10:17, it says what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if we hear that word and we believe that word, we operate in faith, but we have to believe it now. But what happens is sometimes we get into situations and circumstances that challenge our faith. We all do. It happens to every last one of us. And then the question is, do you believe it now? Because if you don't, then you get to a place called unbelief. You believed it then, but right now, a little doubt has creeped in. I believed it when you told me, Lord. Ooh, but right now my situation changed. I don't know. I need some reassurance. And we all go through that. We all struggle with this. Amen? There's no one that walks around here that's always standing in rock hard, solid faith.
Amen.
Amen. We need help.
Yes.
We need help. Faith is a gift given unto God. Don't try to operate in God's gift by yourself. I don't care. See, sometimes we know that with talent and stuff like that. We go, oh, well, he's gifted. Yeah. But see, faith is a gift. It's given unto us by God. And so don't try to operate in any gift of God by yourself. Don't try to operate your faith by yourself. We need help. We need help. Now, as far as a more formal definition of unbelief, unbelief comes from two Greek words that mean disobedient and distrust. Disobedience and distrust. Disobedience and distrust are linked. Think about it this way. If we distrust what God says, if we cannot put our absolute trust in his word, then it is impossible to obey him. You gotta trust him in order to obey. And so if we distrust the word of God, then we can't obey the word of God.
Right.
Peter was able to get out of the boat and walk to Jesus because he believed it was Jesus standing on the water.
Yes.
Jesus came, you remember, in the midst of the storm, and he walked upon the boat, and the disciples thought it was what? Thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, be of good cheer, it is I. And Peter spoke up and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come onto the water to thee. And Jesus said, come. Now, if Peter didn't trust in what Jesus was saying unto him, There's no way that Peter could have gotten out of the boat. He couldn't have obeyed. He couldn't have obeyed if he distrusted the word that Jesus spoke. But because he trusted, when Jesus said, come, Peter was able to obey the Lord and do a miracle. But if he was looking, going, I don't know if that's you, Jesus. I don't know. What would he have done? He would have stayed right there. And the commandment that Jesus gave him to come would have never been obeyed. We cannot obey God if we don't fully trust him. Because if you're going to trust God, then God's only going to give you one thing to compel you into action. Amen. Know what that one thing is? His word. Amen. He's only going to give you a word. And if you can't believe what he's saying, if you can't trust what he's saying, then you can't obey what he's saying. If you can't trust that God is going to meet all your needs, then you can't obey him when he tells you to give away your last can of corn. If you can't trust him that he's going to heal you, then you can't obey him when he tells you to do certain things so that you can receive your healing.
Yes. Amen.
We have to trust him. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9, because here in Mark chapter 9, we meet the father of the boy who was possessed by the demon. If you remember, there was a father who brought his son to the disciples of Jesus. And he asked those disciples to cast out the demon from his son. It says in the scripture that the son was mute. He had a spirit, a dumb spirit or a mute spirit. And also the father said that the spirit would throw his son down on the ground and throw him into the fire and throw him into the water and try to kill him. And he had brought his son unto the disciples so that the disciples could cast this demon out.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the disciples couldn't do it. And Jesus was on the mountaintop. He's on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And he came down on the scene and he found a big crowd and a bunch of commotion. And he said, what's going on here? And the father said, I brought my son to the disciples to cast out the demon, but they couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. That's when Jesus asked how long he'd been this way. And the father gave him the information that he's been this way since he was a young boy. And the father said to Jesus in verse 22 of Mark chapter 9, he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now, I've mentioned to you before a book that was written by Rick Renner, R-E-N-N-E-R. It's called Sparkling Gems from the Greek. And it's a large book, but in it, Rick Renner takes New Testament scriptures, passages, individual words, and he breaks it down in the Greek. And by taking it to the Greek, we get such a deeper and richer understanding of a particular scripture. And so in his book, Sparkling Gems from the Greek, he looked at the word believeth in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And what he said was interesting. He said that the word believeth here pictures a person who is believing. Mm-hmm. Right? Not one who believed yesterday, but one who is believing today. And I want to read something, a quote that he has in the article that he wrote about this particular passage. He says that this person who believeth is one who's believing. He says this is not someone who once had an experience of faith in the past. Rather, this is a person who is presently believing right now. He didn't just believe in the past. He is a believer. His faith is actively reaching forward right now to grab hold of what God has promised. Then he concludes by saying this. His faith is habitually, constantly, consistently, unwaveringly straining forward to take hold of that desired goal he sees before him. And when you hear this, when you hear Rick Renner saying that this is someone who is believing, this is someone who is presently believing right now, this is someone who is actively reaching forward right now to grab hold of God's promises, we're taken back to Hebrews 11, where Hebrews 11 says, now faith is. It's consistent with this idea that it has to be something that's exercised in the here and in the now. So Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that presently believes right now. So what does that say? If we're not believing right now, then all things are impossible to you. The only way all things are possible is if we're believing right now. And so it's so important for us to grasp that. Because sometimes we can believe on something before, and because God brought us through it. But now we are in a new situation, or it's a tougher situation, or it's a different situation, and we might find it hard to believe right now. Right. But it's so important that we know that we can't stay in that place, and God wants us to know that we can conquer it. Look what the Father said in verse 24 when Jesus told him this. He said unto him, with tears in his eyes, he's crying. He says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Mm-hmm. See, and I believe what he was saying is, Lord, I do believe you. And think about it. Think about it for a moment. This man brought his son to Jesus and his disciples. Why did he do that? Because he must have, at some point, believed that Jesus could heal. He heard about Jesus healing. In fact, he might have heard about the disciples because in Mark chapter 6, Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, and he had them cast out demons and heal the sick.
Yes.
And so he may have heard that the disciples could do it too. And so he believed, amen, as he was packing up his house and packing up his son to go to find Jesus, he went in faith. He was believing. He was believing right then and there. And he walked up on the scene, and he goes up to the disciples, and he says, here's my son. I know that you can cast out demons because I know Jesus sent you out two by two to cast out demons. He cast them out. My son got a demon since he was a boy. And the disciples couldn't do it. Father had to look at that. What's going on? What's going on? Then he comes to see Jesus, and Jesus is not there. Where's Jesus? And so now when he left his house, I believe he walked out of there believing, my son's going to be healed. I'm believing, I'm bringing him to Jesus, and I'm bringing him to those disciples of his, because they know how to cast out demons. Son, you're going to be healed today. And when he brought his son there, first thing he found out, Jesus is not there. What do you mean Jesus is not there? Well, Jesus up on the mountain. All right. But I heard you guys can do it. Why don't you lay hands on my son? Get this demon out. Okay. They laid hands on him. They prayed for him. Nothing. Now that belief was being challenged. And with that belief being challenged, he believed before, because otherwise he wouldn't have come. But now in the midst of the situation, he's struggling a little bit. Have you ever been there? Yeah. You believed before, but now in the middle of your present situation, maybe because God hasn't shown up, you went to the throne of grace. It seems like God's not there, just like Jesus wasn't here for this man. Or maybe you went to one of the servants of God, and you asked them to pray for you, or you asked them to give you some advice, and they didn't have anything they could tell you that was of help. And now you go, ooh, I don't know. Yeah. I believed. Otherwise, I wouldn't have come to church. I believe. Otherwise, I wouldn't have went to the pastor. I believe. Otherwise, I wouldn't have called the prayer line. But, I don't know anymore. And so Jesus said, look, anything is impossible if you keep on believing. He says, you know what? I believed before I left the house. But since I got here and all the stuff that's been going on and nobody can do anything for my son, I just don't know right now. I just don't know right now. But he did something smart. He said, help me with my unbelief. If you look in Matthew chapter 17, you'll see a companion account of this story. And it's interesting because the disciples go to Jesus and they say, why couldn't we cast out the demon? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. So unbelief not only stops you from receiving the power of God, it stops you from operating in the power of God. But he told the disciples, you have an unbelief problem too. Now here's the thing about unbelief that I believe God wants to get into our spirit. There's a danger in unbelief. Amen. It's not something, even though we all may experience it and all go through it, we should not in any way get comfortable in it. Mm-hmm. Amen. We shouldn't think it's okay. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. That's right after Leviticus. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. Look at Numbers chapter 20. And as you turn there, I just want to remind you, this is when God spoke to Moses because there was no water and the people were thirsty as they're wandering around the desert. And in Numbers chapter 20, verse number 7, the Lord spoke to Moses and told him something. We see what he told him in verse number 8. He told Moses to take his rod, to gather all the people together, to bring his brother Aaron with him. And he told Moses in verse 8 to speak unto the rock before the eyes of the people. And God said, and if you do that, it, the rock, shall give forth his water. And you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. In verse number 9, it says, Moses took the rod, as God said, and he went before the people. And his brother Aaron was there, you see in verse 10. He gathered all the people together before the rock. And then Moses said, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? God didn't tell him to say that.
No.
Amen.
No.
God didn't tell him to say that. He said, speak unto the rock. Mm-hmm. And who did he speak to?
The people.
He spoke to the people. Mm-hmm. Disobedient. God didn't tell him to speak to the people. He told him to speak to the rock. So he speaks to the people. And not only did he speak to the people, but he spoke to them very disrespectfully with an attitude. Called them names. Can you imagine I come up here? Listen up, you rebels! God told me to tell you something. I believe there's some preachers, amen, who pretty much do this to their congregation. You rebels! Calling God's people name. You better be careful. Must we fetch water out of this? What we? He's stepping into God's territory. We. Verse 11. And Moses then, he didn't stop there. He lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. God didn't tell him to do that. But he said, what's the harm? Because look what it said. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. So, no harm, no foul, right? Not so fast. Look at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. And he said this, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. He said to Moses, because you didn't believe me. But wait a minute, what do you mean because you didn't believe me? But you see how not trusting God The distrust of God's word led to disobedience. If he would have simply trusted God, he would have did what God told him to do. He would have spoke to the rock, the water would have came forward. But no, he didn't trust him not enough. He had to do something else. He had to chastise the people. He had to put himself in the midst of my own shoes. Do we have to bring forth water? And then he deliberately disobeyed by hitting the rock twice with his rod. But he distrusted God's word because God said, you didn't believe me. You see that? You didn't believe me. And because he didn't believe him, he didn't obey him. That's why obedience and trust, believing God and obeying God, go hand in hand. And if you can't trust God, you can't obey God. But here's the problem with it. You know, I used to think that Moses didn't get into the promised land because he got angry. After all, he called the rebels and hit the rock. See, your anger can keep you from God's promises. No, it was his not believing that kept him from the promised land. But I do want to share something with you, and that's this. Anger does come into it. Because it wasn't Moses' anger that kept him out of the promised land. It was God's anger at Moses that kept him out. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. That's right after the book of Numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 37. And Moses says, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou shalt not go in thither. And remember, we just saw in Numbers chapter 20 that God said, you're not going into the promised land. You're not going into the inheritance that I gave to you. But God said, it's because you didn't believe me. Here, Moses revealed that God was angry with him because he didn't believe him. You see that? He said, the Lord was angry with me for your sake. Turn a couple of chapters ahead to Deuteronomy chapter 3. And in verse number 25, Moses said that he went to God and said, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that's beyond Jordan. He wanted to go into the promised land. And he said, look, but the Lord was wroth or angry with me for your sakes and would not hear me. See, when we operate in unbelief, when we don't believe God, God doesn't take it lightly. He gets angry. Moses said he was angry with me for your sakes and he wouldn't hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. In other words, stop asking me. That's enough. Speak no more to me of this matter. Then he told him, get up on the mountain. I'll let you see the promised land, but you're not going over. And he said the same thing to him in Deuteronomy chapter 4. So it's important to understand something, that this thing about unbelief, the reason why we shouldn't get comfortable with it is because unbelief makes God angry. So don't get comfortable with it. Just because it's a shared experience, let us not get comfortable with it. Sometimes we as Christians, we get comfortable with shared experiences, which can be good, but sometimes that comfort with a shared experience could be bad if the shared experience is something that God disapproves of. Yeah, we all struggle with believing God from time to time, but don't rest on that unbelief as if it's okay. Rather, take the lesson from Moses and understand God doesn't take lightly to us not believing him. And you may say, why would God get angry? Why would he be angry? He knows that we have trouble sometimes. Why would he be angry? Well, maybe it's because in Numbers 23, God said, I'm not a man that I should lie. Maybe it's because in the book of Titus, God says, I cannot lie. Maybe it's because in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, he says, it's impossible for me to lie. And so if God doesn't lie, cannot lie, it's impossible for him to lie, why can't we believe him? See, we're without excuse. And so he looks at us and goes, what do you mean you can't believe me? Well, Lord, you understand my heart. Yeah, I understand. I understand perfectly. I'm someone who can't lie. You're telling me you can't believe me. Come on, somebody. God says, I cannot lie. I don't lie. It's impossible for me to lie. Now I want you to do this, and if you do this, this is going to happen. Well, how do I know, Lord? You think God's going to take kindly to that? God is looking for us to trust him and to follow him and to obey him. That's the Old Testament. We're now in the dispensation of grace. Yes, we are. So let's turn to New Testament, Mark chapter 16 then. How many of you know Jesus is just like his father?
Amen.
Huh? I don't know about you, but I seem to remember reading in my Bible that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've also seen where Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So someone might say, yeah, but see, God got mad with Moses because he was living under the law, but now we're under grace. And so I don't know if God gets mad at us for unbelief. Jesus didn't get mad at the father of the boy in Mark chapter 9. Are you in Mark 16?
Yeah.
Let's look at verse number 9. It says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them. Those are the disciples on the road to Emmaus, amen. As he walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they then. So Mary Magdalene saw Jesus and told the disciples, and they didn't believe him. Jesus met the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They went and told the 11 disciples, and the 11 disciples didn't believe the 2 disciples who were on their way to Emmaus. So in verse number 14 it says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with what? Their unbelief. He rebuked them. He was upset with them because of their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So we can see here, we can see the God of the Old Testament, and we see Jesus in Mark chapter 16, where he was upset with his disciples for not believing Mary and for not believing the 2 disciples who were on their way to Emmaus when both Mary and those disciples told the 11, we've seen Jesus. They said, no, you didn't. I don't believe that. And when Jesus came to the 11, he rebuked them because of their unbelief. That's why for us, even though it's a common experience for us to get into, to get to that point where we're like that, Father, I believed you then, but I'm having trouble right now. Yes, we can all relate to it, but let's not get comfortable in that. Just because it's a shared experience as Christians on this journey, we still can't rest there. That's not the place for us to be. Remember, they that come to God, what? Must believe. And when do you believe?
Now.
You got to believe now. Amen. You got to believe now. And so, we can't get comfortable there. The writer of Hebrews, I'm going to ask you to turn to Hebrews 3. We're going to end here. I'm going to ask you to turn to Hebrews 3. And the writer of Hebrews chapter 3, and by the way, just as an aside, I say the writer of Hebrews because no one conclusively knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. Amen. All words inspired by God, but no one knows who God used as the author of Hebrews. Some say it was Paul, but there's some proof that it wasn't Paul. Some say it was Luke, some say it was Apollo, some say it was Barnabas, some say it was Silas, but the truth of the matter is no one can conclusively say who was inspired by God to write it. So if you read places where they say Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, I just ask you to dig a little deeper in. We can talk about that, because there's some verses in Hebrews that kind of show that that's not the case. That's a little aside. That one was free. That one was free, by the way. That was unintended. But the writer of Hebrews, amen, in chapter 3, look what he says in verse 12. Take heed, brethren. And when you see the word brethren, that means that the writer is speaking to people of God. Okay? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, brethren, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see why we can't get comfortable with unbelief, even though it's a shared experience? Because God looks at unbelief as evil. Is that what that says? An evil heart of unbelief. That's why we can't rest in it. And listen, I know I got reasons right now why I'm having struggle. I know. But my reasons are not more important than the commandments of God. And God said, if you're going to step to me, you must believe that. You must believe me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God, but I don't know. And God looks at it and goes, that's evil right there. And just like with Moses, he gets upset with that. Because you didn't believe me, he said to Moses, what? You can't get the promise. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Why couldn't we cast out the demon from the boy? Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief, you can't exercise the power. So watch this. Both the promise and the power is denied operating in our life because of unbelief. This is not a life thing. And the fact that we all go through it, I'm sorry, I'm not resting on that. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Amen. I don't need my brother or my sister to understand my unbelief. Lord, help me with my unbelief. In other words, what he's saying, get me out of here. Get me out of here. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. For some of you, it should be right on the next page. Well, you know what? You don't even got to go to 4. Let's look at verse 17 of Hebrews 3. It says, but with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them? From my God, he was grieved. He was angry. He was provoked. He was irritated, it says in the Amplified. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest? Who's not going to get the promise? But to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Verse 6 of chapter 4. Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So this is why we don't want to get comfortable with unbelief, even though we can understand it. Amen? You've been through some stuff that's racked you. You've been through some stuff that leads you to have questions. I get it. Sister so-and-so gets it. Brother so-and-so gets it. God even gets it. But here's the thing. Just because we get it and God gets it, doesn't mean God's happy with it. Right? Because God wants to be believed. And so he says, here you come into his presence and you come bringing your baggage of doubt and stuff and you want him to deal with it. He says, what do you want me to do with that? What do you want me to do with that? It said that he didn't even hear Moses anymore. He was angry with him and wasn't hearing him. And they even told him this, stop asking me so much. You're not getting it. Why? Because you operated in unbelief. You didn't believe me. Now, God is merciful now, right? But he wants us to walk in faith. And so what do? When one of us is, when we get into that place where we're struggling with our belief, and everybody gets there, what do you do? Does God want us to tell us, put your spiritual nose up in the air? Well, you're not believing. Don't expect to receive the promises of God because you're not believing. Now faith is. You better put your nose down. Because at some point, amen, God will slap your nose down, amen, by sending some, you know, some east wind your way. How many of you know east wind in the Bible is that rough wind? Yeah. Ask Jonah about the east wind. That's that hot wind. Yeah. That's that desert wind. God will send an east wind. You better put your nose down, but next thing you know, east wind going to blow into your life. That's not what God wants us to do. If we go back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, look at it again. Take heed, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, that there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Don't criticize each other. Don't get highfalutin because right now you're able to believe, but somebody else is having some struggle. But it said what? Encourage one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so, well, what God is saying is that, listen, yes, we have a shared experience in unbelief, but let's not get comfortable with it. Let's encourage each other daily to get out of it. To get to a point where we believe God. Because then when we trust God, we can obey God. And then when we trust him and obey him, unlike Moses who didn't trust him and got denied the promise, we can inherit and lay hold of the promise. Amen. And unlike the disciples who were in unbelief and couldn't operate in power, we can operate in power. So here is the encouragement. And so, and this is why I believe God wants us to come back on next week. Here is the encouragement. We go back to Isaiah 53 and 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And we can now give an answer to the second question. Definitively, right? The arm of the Lord, the power of God, is revealed to those who presently believe. Amen? The ones who are believing. The ones who are operating in faith now. Right? And to those people, Jesus said, all things are possible. Right? Mm-hmm. All things are possible to those who believe. Though all things are possible to those who are presently believing. Mm-hmm. Amen? And so this is going to be our encouragement as we go into next week. Amen? As we see this, God's going to, is talking to us about how to conquer unbelief. And we understand, amen, we can't stay there. I know why you're there. I know why I'm there. I can't hold on to that like a dog holds on to a bone. Why? Because God doesn't like it. Amen. Is that a good enough reason?
Yeah.
God doesn't like it. That's enough.
Yeah.
I don't need no why. I need nothing. What? You don't like it, Lord? Okay, that's it. I'm done. We can't stay there. But also, too, God is encouraging us and saying unto us, amen, encourage each other not to stay there. Amen? Encourage each other to go to that place called belief. And amen, where you believe me right now, and you can see my power operate in your life right now, and you can see the promises come to pass in your life.
Amen.
Because faith is now. It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. It's
now.
It's now. Amen? It's now. So next week we'll look at some specific ways to get out of unbelief, overcome unbelief, and to walk in the now kind of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But God just laying some groundwork for us on this week. Amen. And I pray you go back and look at these scriptures. Amen. Because they speak. Amen. The scriptures speak unto us. And I believe God is encouraging us. Amen. Because he wants us to walk in power and to inherit the promises. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe, amen, as we close here, amen, that, you know, over the past couple of weeks, God's been, it's interesting what God's been saying, right? 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, he was telling us, don't be afraid to make mistakes. I think he's saying that to us because he's saying to you, try it. Get out there and try that thing. Don't be so comfortable where you are. Go ahead and try that thing. But I might fail, Lord, so what? But I might fall, Lord.
So what?
But I might make a mistake.
So what?
He's telling us to try some things.
Right?
He's telling us to try some things. Last week, he was telling us, don't be so concerned that your stable is dirty. Right? Where no oxen is, the stable is clean. But there's much increase, right, when you have oxen.
Yes.
So sometimes, amen, your stable may be dirty. That's because you are productively doing things for God. Like an oxen, right, who plows a field for the farmer. If you have oxen, the stable's going to be dirty. That's okay, though. I'd rather have a dirty stable because I got oxen plowing the field than have a clean stable because I don't have any oxen. Because I don't have any oxen, what else do I don't have? I don't have no crop. So God is saying to you, don't worry about your life not in order, it's nice and tidy. You're doing things for me, child. Don't worry about it. He's trying to lift your, you know, amen? Get that off you. And I believe now he's telling us to get to that point. Yeah, you believed me yesterday. You believed me last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago. That ain't going to help you today. You need to believe me now. Why? Because I believe God wants to do some things in our life. He's telling you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about mistakes. Don't worry about mess. And don't get comfortable in the fact that right now you're facing a challenge that's shaking you so much that you're having trouble believing me. Because if you're having trouble believing me, you can't trust me. You can't obey me. It doesn't please me. And you can't get the promises and the power. And I don't want that for your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And also, too, God's going to tell you to go somewhere where you never had gone before. And you can't be sitting there going, well, I don't know. You got to say, yes, Lord, I'm going.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Exciting time. So we'll come back next week, amen. We'll come back next week, and we'll get into some of the things that I believe God has for us to specifically tell us, amen, how to conquer unbelief. But until then, let us hold on to this anchor in our soul. Let's encourage each other. Amen. To believe God. You have a brother or sister who's having a hard time? Encourage them. Believe God. Believe God. Amen. Always point them to God. Always point them to the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Word that is our life.
Amen.
Let's rest on our feet and pray this morning. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Father, we give you praise and thanks today. We thank you, God, for laying a foundation in our spirit,
yes.
Oh, Father, about the danger of unbelief and how we can conquer it. God, we thank you for what you have shared with us on today. And, Father, we heard your word. Now faith is.
Yes.
Faith is now. And so, Father, we have to believe you now because you said that all things are possible to those who are presently believing.
Yes.
Right now. Father God, we ask you as the author and finisher of our faith, Lord Jesus, to help us to walk in faith, a now faith, a present faith, a strong and vibrant faith, believing in the word of God and being positioned to therefore go forward and to obey the word of God.
Yes.
And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are bringing us to a higher level in you. And, Father, we look forward to you continuing to speak unto us in the week ahead. Through your Holy Spirit,
yes.
The scriptures that I have been planted in our heart, O God, we believe, O God, that, Father, as we meditate on them, we will get even deeper revelation and instruction, deeper wisdom, O God. And so, Father, we thank you in advance for that. And, Father, we look forward to anticipation, O God, if it is your will, to bring us back here one more time,
yes.
Where we can hear the conclusion of the matter,
yes.
As you show us how to conquer unbelief. Father, we give you the praise and thanks for what you have already done,
yes.
For what you are doing, and for what you shall do. We do it now, right now,
right.
By faith. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.